Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled, Don't Limit God, was recorded at our 2009 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
All right, I've been talking about how to not limit God. And we talked from Psalm 78:41 about how that we can limit God. I talked about that God doesn't just sovereignly control everything. We have a part to play in what God does. I talked about how that if you don't know what God's will for your life is, that's certainly going to limit what God can do. It doesn't happen accidentally. You have to pursue the things of God. We talked about how fear limits God. We talked about fear of people, fear of man, fear of persecution, fear of success. This morning I was talking about how unbelief limits God. And shared some things about faith that's just kind of a different way of looking at it. And I tell you, those things that I was sharing this morning are the kind of things that you need to go back over and over and over. You didn't get all of that. I can promise you, you didn't get it. Amen. This lady who said that she was healed in Albuquerque, didn't you say that that was the same message that she heard 2 or 3 years ago that caused her to be able to believe and receive her healing of cancer? I tell you, there was a lot in what I said this morning, and we could just keep amplifying on all of these things, but tonight's my last night. So there's a couple of things I want to talk about. One of them, let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 1. And I'm just going to pick a scripture out of this chapter that makes a point. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And then verse 19, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." And one of the points I want to make, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because it ought to be obvious, and I guess it is, but most people don't do this very well, and that is that you just have to be obedient to what God is telling you, or you can limit what He's going to do in your life. You've got to follow through. The Lord is going to ask you to do things, and there will be steps and stages in what God leads you to do. He won't take you from where you are into the perfect fulfillment of His will all in one step. There will be steps and stages, and a lot of that is for your benefit. God doesn't want to give you the whole plan, because if you didn't obey and if you didn't follow through, that would just make you accountable for the whole thing. Out of mercy, God just leads you one step at a time and only gives it to you as you're able to bear it. He told the children of Israel, He says, "I'm not going to give you the whole land all at one time. I'm going to give it to you little by little, lest the beast of the field multiply and the crops go, all of the fields go fallow and stuff." He says, "I'm going to let you occupy the land as you're able to possess it and occupy it." And it's the same thing in the spiritual realm. God is going to show you things step by step, and there's going to be a lot of steps of obedience in you following the Lord. And if you don't do what God told you to do, it's going to stop His perfect will from coming to pass. It's not because God stops and says, "I won't bless you because you aren't worthy." None of us are worthy. None of us deserve anything. But it does take cooperation on our part. Let me use this passage out of 1 Samuel chapter 13 to illustrate this, and then I'm going to be moving on beyond this because, again, this ought to be obvious. But 1 Samuel chapter 13, Saul had been appointed the king of Israel, and he started out and he won this great battle over Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, I think it was, and he was established as king. And then it says in 1 Samuel chapter 13 in verse 1, it says, "Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan," that's his son, "in Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent." And so Saul was now established as king. He had 3,000 people, divide 2,000 with him, 1,000 with his son. And Jonathan went out and smote some of the Philistines. Because of this, the Philistines amassed their people together and they came down. And it said in verse 5 that the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and camped against them. And because of this, the Israelites were in big trouble. So Samuel, the prophet, the one who had anointed Saul to be king and who is still basically mentoring Saul and had authority and control over him, he told Saul to wait 7 days and he would come and offer a sacrifice before the Lord and entreat the Lord's favor on them, and then they'd go out to battle. Well, they waited the 7 days and Samuel was late in coming. He didn't come in the days appointed. He was late getting there. And so Saul said this in verse 9. He said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me and that thou camest not within the days appointed and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." You know, a lot of people read that and think, well, that's not so bad. He was in a bad situation, and he just wanted to make sure that he had entreated the Lord. And they excuse things, and they explain it away. Most people have situational ethics. It just depends on what the situation is like. They don't intend to do anything wrong, but you know what? If you're in a situation where you're under pressure and if things happen, it just happened. That's the way most people think. But there are absolutes, and one of the absolutes is that if you are going to take the limits off of God and if you're going to see God's best come to pass, you need to just get to a place to where there's only one God and you are not Him. You do not have the freedom to pick and choose and decide, "I'm going to do this." You know, I've used this example often, but people talk about coming to our Bible college, and they always tell me, I remember this one guy came in, and he says, "I know God spoke to me. God told me to come to Caris Bible College," but he was a 19-year-old boy, and he says, "My parents think that you're a cult. They are against everything, so they took me to the pastor of the church. The pastor of the church says you're a cult. They told me that this is wrong. They're telling me I can't do this." He says, "I'm going to lose my good paying job. It's going to cost me money." He says all of these things, and he just was so perplexed. He was nearly in tears, and he says, "What should I do?" And I said, "You lost me the moment you said God told you." And he says, "What do you mean?" I said, "Look, if God told you, who cares what anybody else got to say? Who cares what the pastor has to say, your parents have to say? Who cares about if you lose your job? Who cares about if you lose money? Man, if God Almighty, who is running a universe, has bound to God, have other things that are important, takes the time out to speak to you and tell you something, and then you're going to debate whether or not you do it. I don't even compute that. It doesn't even dawn on me. Man, if I know that God spoke something to me, I'm going to do it. Now, there may be some wisdom about when to do it, how to do it, or something, but I will do it. I'll do it if it costs me my life. I'll do it if it costs me whatever. If it hair lips every devil in hell, I'm going to do it. Amen. Amen. I know some of you think, man, you can't be like that. That's the way you got to be. There are absolutes. If God tells you something, just follow it. And there, no circumstance can pressure me into doing something different. I'm going to do what God said. God told Saul that you are not qualified to offer a sacrifice. Only priests could do that. And he let circumstances compel him to change. And as soon as he did it, Samuel showed up. And boy, Samuel was upset. In verse 13, Samuel said to Saul, look at this, "Thou hast done foolishly, For thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now will the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Do you understand what this is saying? We sing about David and talk about the sure mercies of David and Jesus being the son of David and all of these things. And most of us can't even relate, if you know anything about the Bible, to David not being the king who is a man after God's own heart and all of these things. And yet Samuel is saying under the inspiration of the Lord that if you would have obeyed God today, he would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. There never would have been a David. David wasn't God's first choice. David was an afterthought. David was plan B. Plan A was Saul. Saul was in training. If he would have obeyed God, if he would have just cooled his jets another hour and have waited on Samuel to show up and have just done what was right, I don't care how much pressure he's under. Doesn't matter if you're fighting an enemy. It doesn't matter what the justification is. Just do what God told you to do. If it kills you, do it. If he would have done that, we'd have been talking about the sure mercies of Saul. We'd have been singing about Saul and his son Jonathan. Jonathan is one of the greatest characters in the Bible. In chapter 14, he goes out and destroys all of the Philistines. He was a very godly man, and God had him groomed. His father's disobedience cost him the kingdom, cost him his life. You need to obey God. I just don't know how to say it any stronger than that. You got to obey God. I just don't relate to people who God speaks to them. And they debate whether they're going to do it or not. That's wrong.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on taking the limits off of God. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1060C or DVD series R3204D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album R1060D. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK151 titled, "You'll Do What You've Imagined," when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Let me remind you that we have brand new product out entitled Don't Limit God. And this is an update of a teaching I did 7 years ago that was entitled Taking the Limits Off of God. And this is an updated testimony about what God has done in my life. And a real challenge to you to just start believing God for something bigger and better. We serve a supernatural, almighty God who has made His power and His ability available to us, and therefore we ought to be having a supernatural life. If your life isn't supernatural, it's superficial. Amen. I mean that to encourage you, not discourage you. So please call or write and get this brand new product.